The sun was hotter than ever, and Powell felt a maddening itch in the small of his back. Imagination, probably, or perhaps hard radiation beginning to tell even through the insosuit. Speedy was watching him, without a word of Gilbert and Sullivan gibberish as greeting. Thank God for that, but he daren't get too close. He was 300 yards away when Speedy began backing, a step at a time, cautiously, and Powell stopped. He jumped from his robot shoulders and landed on the crystalline ground with a light thump and a flying of jagged fragments. He proceeded on foot, the ground gritty and slippery to his steps, the low gravity causing him difficulty. The soles of his feet tickled with warmth. He cast one glance over his shoulder at the blackness of the cliff's shadow and realized that he had come too far to return, either by himself or by the help of his antique robot. It was Speedy or nothing now, and the knowledge of that constricted his chest. Far enough. He stopped. Speedy, he called. Speedy! The sleek, modern robot ahead of him hesitated and halted his backward steps, then resumed them. Powell tried to put a note of pleading into his voice and found it didn't take much acting. Speedy, I've got to get back to the shadow or the sun'll get me. It's life or death, Speedy. I need you. Speedy took one step forward and stopped. He spoke, but at the sound, Powell groaned, for it was, when you're lying awake with a dismal headache and repose is tabooed. It trailed off there, and Powell took time out for some reason to murmur, Iolanthe. It was roasting hot. He caught a movement out of the corner of his eye and whirled dizzily, then stared in utter astonishment, for the monstrous robot on which he had ridden was moving. Moving toward him, and without a rider. He was talking. Pardon, master. I must not move without a master upon me, but you are in danger. Of course, rule one potential above everything. But he didn't want that clumsy antique. He wanted Speedy. He walked away and motioned frantically, I order you to stay away. I order you to stop. It was quite useless. You could not beat Rule One Potential. The robot said stupidly, You are in danger, master. Powell looked about him desperately. He couldn't see clearly. His brain was in a heated whirl. His breath scorched when he breathed, and the ground all about him was a shimmering haze. He called a last time, desperately. Speedy! I'm dying, damn you! Where are you? Speedy, I need you! He was still stumbling backward in a blind effort to get away from the giant robot he didn't want when he felt steel fingers on his arms and a worried, apologetic voice of metallic timbre in his ears. Holy smokes, boss, what are you doing here? And what am I doing? I'm so confused. Never mind, murmured Powell weakly. Get me to the shadow of the cliff, and hurry. There was one last feeling of being lifted into the air and a sensation of rapid motion and burning heat, and he passed out. He woke with Donovan bending over him and smiling anxiously. How are you, Greg? Fine, came the response. Where's Speedy? Right here. I sent him out to one of the other selenium pools, with orders to get that selenium at all costs this time. He got it back in 42 minutes and 3 seconds. I timed him. He still hasn't finished apologizing for the runaround he gave us. He's scared to come near you for fear of what you'll say. Drag him over, ordered Powell. It wasn't his fault. He held out a hand and gripped Speedy's metal paw. It's okay, Speedy. Then, to Donovan, You know, Mike, I was just thinking. Yes? Well, he rubbed his face. The air was so delightfully cool. You know that when we get things set up here and Speedy put through his field tests, they're going to send us to the space stations next.
No.
Yes. At least that's what old Lady Calvin told me just before we left, and I didn't say anything about it because I was going to fight the whole idea.
Fight it? Cried Donovan.
But I know. It's all right with me now. 273 degrees centigrade below zero. Won't it be a pleasure?
Space station, said Donovan. Here I come.